We have just looked at and read together the greatest story of all time, the story that spans centuries, carries power even down to today, such that it can transform our lives. This is not just a story that has been locked away in a book, for if that's all it were, how tragic that would be. This is the living story of God's plan for salvation for us. And indeed, when we read this story, not only do we represent her through those pages, through those words, through the space and time of our lives to touch us, to bring grace and mercy and peace and hope to us. Every year about this time, I get out a book that a novel that was written in 1979 by a German novelist, Michael Ende. The English version of that didn't come out until 1983, and it was called The Never-Ending Story. I remember in 1983 and 84 reading that story to my daughter when she was 4 years old. She's now 44 years old. I remember the story because it is a fantasy about a little boy, 10-year-old, overweight, shy, whose mother had just died, whose father wasn't very friendly, and he was picked on by his friends. His name was Bastian. Bastian had a vivid imagination. And one day, as he was escaping from his friends who were picking on him, he hid in a library and found a book and opened it up, and it was called The Never-Ending Story. One day, and skipped class and read it and kept on reading. He snuck it home and read it at home. It was about a kingdom called Fantasia, where they had an empress who was the childlike empress who had no name. And it had mythical creatures and all sorts of actions, and a knight who was actually a little boy who was going to save the kingdom of Fantasia. As little Bastian kept reading the book, all of a sudden he realized that the characters in the book were talking about another little boy who was watching on. And he thought, well, who are they talking about? And he realized that as he was reading the words, the characters in the book were talking to him. And he panicked. He threw the book away. It terrified him, and found that this fantasy story about saving a kingdom that was disappearing because of people's lack of faith and something called the nothing was devouring it. He realized that he was part of the story. And when he realized that, he was suddenly in the story as he was reading, and there was his name. And he and the knight changed when this little boy realized that in this book, this story was his story. You know, children have no problem in believing that a book that's being read to them is actually happening in real time. I remember my daughter, when I would read her a book, who would get so excited if there was a battle that she would get up and start trying to fight the battle, looking for the animals. Children have no problem believing that words on a book contain a story that involves them. We adults know better, or do we? That's exactly what we just did. We read our story. This gospel that we read is the never-ending story, and we are all in it. In Endliche Geschichte, the never-ending story, to remind me that this story has me in it and you in it. And indeed, in Scripture, anytime the Lord Jesus says something like, "Truly I say to you, your sins are forgiven," who is the you in that sentence? It's you. It's me. This is the story of God on this journey in Holy Week today and tomorrow, by journeying backwards in time and deeper into our hearts to Jerusalem, where we enter into Jerusalem today, as we just did, to the shouts of Hosanna. And we see our story, how we are so excited about what Jesus offers to us, compassion, and we are thrilled with the possibilities, until things don't go the way we think they should, or we don't get the type of blessing we think we need at the time we need it, or we don't think that God pays any attention to us anymore, or we get distracted and bored, or turn around and go the other way. And then we see that He still reaches out to us, because on Monday of Jesus in Bethany, where Mary anoints His feet with oil to prepare for His burial. Remember, Jesus entered Jerusalem on that first day to shouts of Hosanna, which means save us. They wanted a Savior, so do we. They wanted someone who could restore order, and so do we. The deepest yearnings within us are for a sinfulness, our own inability to do kind things when kind things are called for. And we follow this story this coming week, where even one of Jesus' closest friends, Judas Iscariot, makes arrangements to hand Him over. Judas got bored. Judas wanted some other type of Savior. And so he arranged to have Jesus sold for 30 pieces of on Thursday at the Last Supper, gets up and washes the feet of his friends, including Judas, whom he knew was going to betray him. Such was his love. And we follow the story on Good Friday, the horrible story of his crucifixion, where we read aloud again the Passion story, but this one is from John's Gospel on Friday. Culminating, no chance, dead, buried, and gone. And there was great celebration in hell when that happened. But Satan never did figure it out and still hasn't. We have the story, the concluding part of the story, when Jesus rose from that sealed tomb on Easter morning, the resurrection power bursting the stone away and appearing to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, to the entire apostolic crowd in the upper room on Easter evening, and then over and over again over the next 40 days, how He appears alive in His resurrected body, and at one point to more than 500 people at one time. This is the never-ending story, corroborated by hundreds and hundreds, and over time, thousands and millions. We come to His table, we come to the Last Supper. We process into Jerusalem. We receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity, and His blessing. And He sends us out to change the world for Him. Because this is our story. We're His people. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't overlooked us. He hasn't delayed. The only delay is that He doesn't want anyone to perish until we can gather at that empty tomb with Him a week from this weekend and sing our cries of praise and thanksgiving to Him. I encourage you, in the name of the church, to walk the walk of faith this week. Don't let this be a normal, everyday, humdrum, same old week, because it's not. This is the week when we put ourselves in the middle of the suffers and dies for us and for our salvation. Now, we may think he's not active. We may think that he doesn't care. But if we do that, we're not paying attention. He is all around us. He is all over every one of you who is here this evening, because you're his and he loves you. And you're here because he loves you, because he wants to bless you. You do. Hear the words of the story each day at Mass. Read the Mass readings. Find yourself in there, because you are. Because this is your story too. This is the never-ending story.